Hey, my father, Abraham. It's through the whole, you see, through the whole New Testament. You know, I've been reading recently in Exodus, and God is just showing me how jealous he is.
Come on.
And as he gives the Lord to the Israelites, he tells them how to build the Ark of the Covenant. And there's such specific things that they have to do. And it's just been breaking my heart. He's going, God, you're coming back for a pure bride. He's given us instructions on how to build the temple of God. He's given us instructions on how to build the house of God. And if we're going to build right, he's not coming for us.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
And it's breaking my heart. I've been chatting with Warren and I've done the elders. I know, I've heard what's happened, child. It hasn't been built right. And Jesus weeps. Jesus is heartbroken. And so in worship, he's just breaking my heart. He's a jealous God. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, would you come and show us how to build? Yes. Yes. We don't want to build a man-made structure. We don't want to build around one man. Yes. In the same way, we want to build around Jesus.
Thank
we
you.
Just want to build walls.
Yeah.
So Holy Spirit, would you come and just reveal to us how you want to build?
Thank you, Lord.
So like I want to say, I'm from the Netherlands, grew up in South Africa, 22. And I met God when I was 16. I walked into an extremely healthy church and just encountered God in a radical way. And in 2022, I'd say, 2021, I did Old Jews, a gap year program within 412. I think God there started working my heart, breaking my heart for a healthy bride. And that's actually really what I wanted to share today, was just a pure on the healthy bride. If you are taking notes and you want to have a title, I titled this preach, Stay in Your Lane. And it's really just about that we would do the things that God has called us to do, not the things that we think we need to do, but the things that God does. We want to build this church His way. I'm going to start actually in reading in Revelation with a verse there. And I suppose this would be, I feel like this is what God's heart is beating for today. So Revelation 19, verse 7-9 says, "Let us rejoice and exalt Him and give Him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. He was granted to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And the angel now said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God." So that revelation was given to John in about 1880. And actually, this last book of the Bible, of course, the one that was actually written as last. And Jesus is saying, he says, "Blessed are those who are coming to who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And so what we see is that we, as a church, are called the Bride of Christ. And one day we will head. God will come back. Jesus will come back and collect us, and we'll go to heaven, and we'll feast with Him, and we will in a sense be married to Him. But He's coming back for a bride that has made herself ready. And I'll ask us, are we a bride that is ready? Just as I was in worship, just praying, going, God, may we be a bride that is ready for You. How can we be ready, God? I want us to be ready. I want us to be pure. I want us to be bright. I want us to wear fine linen, bright and pure. And He speaks about you, and John writes, he says, "For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints." And so we see that God has got things planned for us before time. It's mentioned many times in the Bible. In Ephesians 5, it speaks about just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing of water through the Word, and to present Himself a radiant church without stain, wrinkle, or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. And so God is coming back. He wants a holy and blameless church. He wants a holy and blameless bride. And a holy and blameless bride doesn't function if Anton leads worship and Warren leads the service and no one else does anything. A holy and blameless bride doesn't function like that. That it's impossible. So I really want to teach today on how can we become that holy and blameless bride. How can we become that perfect bride? And so I want to actually... the church is called the house of God. And I want to speak about the house of God. So when I'm a carpenter in the Netherlands. I build houses there, And how you start a house, you build from the ground up. You can't start on the roof, you can't start on the second floor, you gotta start on the ground. So you gotta start with laying cement. So that's your foundation. And so this is how we want to build. So how do we build? Ephesians 2 verse 20 says that the foundation of the church is built on the prophets and apostles. So that's our foundation. We build off them. 4:12 is an apostolic field. We submit under apostles and an apostolic team. That's Andrew and the guys. And so we submit under them. And now, in a sense, our foundation, we build on top of that. That's exactly what we build on. And in 1 Peter, these are not all my notes, but in 1 Peter 3, it speaks about Christ being the cornerstone. So basically you lay the foundation, the apostles and prophets, and then you put the cornerstone, the first, in a sense, your first brick that you lay will be Christ. Christ will be the first brick we lay. And from there, we can build. We can build whatever way up, but we have to have Christ as this chief cornerstone. Okay. And every part of that house there, we build that house, and we are part of that house. So it's Christ, foundation is apostles and prophets, Christ is the chief cornerstone. And every brick, we are called living stones. In 1 Peter as well. I'm actually going to turn there and read that verse. It's more of my notes, so I'm going to jump off a bit. 1 Peter 3, I'm sure. 1 Peter 2. Here we go. But as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, a spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For scripture says, and it goes on, but I want to focus in on that living stones. So we have a foundation, we have the cornerstone, and then from there on, we are all called living stones. So every brick that is laid is, in a sense, us. So then Anton might be the one on the left, and then Maria on the right, and then Tom one next to that one. And we are then built up so a house will be built then. So if all of us function, and all of us, in a sense, are that living stone, that house will be built. But if one of us is not building worth, if one of us is not doing the task that God has given us, that stone falls away. Imagine looking at a house and it's just in the middle of the wall, there's just one stone that's not there. That's not ideal. And maybe one stone we could miss, you know? One stone is all right. I mean, it doesn't look good and it's not very helpful. But once you start missing two or three, it becomes a serious problem. It becomes a serious, serious problem. Anton worked in construction. He can tell you more about it. So we've laid down our foundation, we have our chief cornerstone. And then coming back to that verse in Revelation 19, speaks about it was granted, so Jesus now obviously, we are the bride, presented to Jesus, and it speaks about our deeds, being fine linen, pure and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. So we have things to do to build up his bride. And so I want to zoom in kind of on that part. For fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And we've all been saved for a purpose. We've all been saved for a purpose. And there are many, I suppose, layers to this and why we've been saved and what we have to do. You know, obviously Jesus says in Matthew 28, go out and make disciples. There's various things, various elements of this. But I want to really dive in to look at the bride of Christ. So in 2022, I traveled around 4:12 actually, 4:12 churches. And I got to see many churches. I was in the Netherlands first. I was in Switzerland. I went to the Isle of Man. I was in Northern Ireland. I was in Ireland. I've been to various places. And I saw various churches. And I was hosted with the people in the church for 2-3 weeks. And I would just link in. I would just join with them. See what God was doing amongst them. Worship with them. Love them. And then I would, in a sense, go to the next church. And every church, there would be certain things that I could come and help and build. And in a sense, lay a stone here and lay a stone there. And it's beautiful. But God broke my heart for a bride that is pure. A beautiful bride. So in Ephesians 2 verse 10, it says this, we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared for us in advance to do. So God has got things for every single person in this church. Every single one of us, he's got things to do. And tasks for us. And I just want to touch on, many people think of it as gifts. But I think it's much broader than just the gifts. Obviously the gifts are important, so we need those. But eldership and deacons, that's not a gift, it's a task within the church. Obviously, elders, they have a gift of shepherd. Often there will be gifts they operate in. But eldership is a task within the church. Deaconship, worship leading. Those are all tasks. And in a sense, there are gifts that operate through that. But in a sense, we are all called. So we all have tasks. And God has prepared these in advance to do. And so when we do these things, when everyone does the things that God has called them to do, we become a beautiful bride. Ephesians 4 touches on this again. Ephesians 4 verse 11 to 16 says, "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry." Works, we have things to do. "For building up the body of Christ until we attain to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes, rather speaking truth in love, but to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined together, held by every joint which is equipped, then each part is working properly. When each part is working properly, that makes the body grow and that builds itself up in love." So you see there throughout both those verses, there's works for us to do. There's things we have to do. And God is wanting our hearts. He's wanting us to come to say, "God, how can I serve? How can I lay a stone? Which part of the body can I be? How can I serve you, God? How can I make sure this bride is beautiful? Because you're coming back for a beautiful bride." I know that Jesus is obviously coming back for saints, but I seriously question, if our bride is not beautiful, will He come back for us? I don't know if I see that in Scripture. I see Him saying, "I'm coming back for a beautiful bride. Bride that is ready. Bride that where everyone is functioning together. Everyone carrying out their tasks. Not just one or two, not just 10, not just 20, but everyone. Every single person. What do you have? What do you have to bring? What are your gifts? What are your talents? What has God given you to bring? Is it hospitality? Is it serving? Is it kids? Is it leading worship? Is it making tea? Every aspect, there has to be. If we don't function fully as a bride, we don't function as a house built with living stones, it's a serious problem. We're not beautiful. And He's not coming back for us. So we can see very clearly that God has prepared works for us to do in advance. Very clear. It's throughout the whole New Testament. I've just picked out a few verses. But I think one of the biggest dangers, and I see this, I've seen this in many churches, that we start doing the works of another. We don't do our own works. We start striving. I know a lot of young guys who strive for leadership. They want to grab that limelight. But is it their task? In a sense, this is limelight. I'm standing in front of all of you guys teaching. In a sense, this is limelight. And a lot of young guys will strive for this. But is that their task? The Bible speaks about preachers having, or guys who are teaching, carrying, they'll be judged more strictly. Is it your task to teach? Is it your task to sit here? Or should you be in kids' work serving? Is it your task to be leading worship? What is your task? What can you do? What can you bring? Search your heart. Ask God. God, what talents, what gifts have you given me? Because it's not helpful if we are doing the work of another. We each have to bring our own stone. Obviously, Corinthians speaks about this as the body of Christ. We call the house, we call the body. In 1 Corinthians 12, it speaks about, "For body is one and has many members, and all members of the body, though many, are one body. And so it is with Christ." So we're all a body. Some will be the hand, some will be the finger, some will be the nose, some will be the eyes. And if all of us function correctly, that body is then healthy. A couple of months ago, I went on a skiing trip with a couple of guys. And one of the guys I came with, his name was Flores. He's about 35, 40. And he is so carpet, a very strong, fit guy. He's worked in the building industry his whole life. And I don't actually know too many guys stronger than him in a sense. I've seen him like lift things and he's incredibly strong. And went skiing. And on the first day, he wasn't walking to come to me. So hey, Flores, what's up? He says, "No, something's wrong with my kidney." He says, "I'm not sure what it is. I think something's wrong with my kidney." And by the next day, he could barely stand. And he had a kidney stone. So this guy is really tough and really strong in a sense. There was a part of his body, and if I looked at him just like this, he was perfectly fine, healthy. Nothing had changed on the outside. There was a part of his body that wasn't functioning, and through that, he couldn't stand. He'd like walk around. Yeah, he's very funny. We had a good couple of laughs from the show. It was a lot of pain. But in a sense, if one part of the body doesn't function, man, it's hard. It's hard for the rest. Even though that part might not be seen. Maybe you're sitting here and you're like, I'm not seeing. Maybe that kidney. Or the heart. Someone said to me the other day, Tom, you're the stomach of the church. Or you just eat food. maybe the kidney. Maybe I'm not seeing, man. But if you're not functioning, this bride cannot become beautiful. God wants coming back for a beautiful bride. He needs us to build it exactly the way He wants us to. The way He wants it built. Not the way we want it, sorry. We can't build it our way. We have to build it His way. So to continue, 1 Corinthians 12. For in one spirit, we were all baptized into one body, Greeks and Jews, slaves and free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not make it any less part of the body. So if our ear decides, no, I'm going to try and see things, it's going to be a serious problem. It's not really helpful. God is going to make for a pure bride, a beautiful body, where everyone is doing their own thing. In submission, not in a sense my own thing, like this is what I want to do and this is what I want to do. And I want to touch on that later. How do we find out what God has for us? I want to continue reading here. For the body does not... where was I? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body. God has arranged them, each one of them, as He chose. And if all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor the head say to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker and indispensable, those parts of the body that we think are less honorable, we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with the most modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has composed the body. But God has composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer. If you're not doing your role, all suffer. Every single one of us. And I think even to a degree, we are in an apostolic field. I think certain churches within the apostolic field, if they're not functioning well, they'll have an impact on you guys. I think you guys will have an impact on GCC in Zambia. I can't exactly explain it, but what I've seen in the spirit, there's a story of a church was raised trying to, their members weren't tithing. And so a couple of the apostolic, it was in Fort Worth, a couple of apostolic guys came in, and they asked the lead elders and the guys who were on full time, are you guys tithing? And they said, no, we get paid by the church, why would we tithe? They said, well, why don't you guys start tithing? Because we see everyone needs a tithe, we're all part of the body, we all need a tithe. And they didn't tell the saints. No one, just the lead elders, all the guys that, the lead elders and the guys who are on full-time ministry, started tithing. And within, I think it was two or three months, the church had come back into health and everyone was tithing. There was enough money. They didn't mention it to the saints. So the things we do, the authorities we carry, the things we do in the spirit, or just the things we do in the physical actually has an impact on the spiritual realm and will impact each other. So you often see if lead elders or guys in leadership roles are struggling with pornography, it'll flow straight through the congregation. We're all a body. We all have to carry our part. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first the apostles, second prophets, speaking about, again, the foundation. Third, teachers. Then miracles and gifts of healing, helping, administration, and various kinds of tongues. And he goes on to list the gifts. What has God called you to do? And the reason why I talked about this preach, stay in your lane, is because if we start jumping onto other guys' lanes, doing other guys' things, we're not going to be a healthy body. We're not going to be a beautiful bride. We all need to function. Every single one of us has to function in the gift that God has given us, in the role that God has given us. We don't do that. Is Jesus coming back for our church? Is He coming back for our bride? The question should be, what has God called me to? We can't all be teachers. Who would shepherd the sheep? We can't all lead worship. Who would lead the service? We all have different functions. All of us. And some of them, like Paul says, are more honorable. But Paul also says, he says, I'm an apostle, the least, the lowest of the church, he says. The trash, because that's the word that's translated out of the Hebrew. Trash. Or Greek, sorry. If one part doesn't do its job, the body is sick. We can't walk if our foot is broken. We need crutches. Every single part, guys. So I was sitting around the supper table two nights ago and with Anton and the guys. And that morning I read an Exodus how God says to the priest, he says, to anoint your right ear with blood, your right thumb with blood, and your big toe with blood before they come into the presence of God. That's what Aaron and the priest had to do. They had to, like, I think it was a ram, to kill a lamb, a ram, and then, like, very specific, splash, like, the blood on the altar, and then the rest of the blood, anoint your ear, thumb, and toe. And I kind of asked, like, why do you guys think? And we searched it up a bit, and the reason that they used to anoint the toe with blood was because the big toe is key for movement, and for movement and balance. So if your big toe, if you don't have a big toe, it's very hard to walk straight and to keep in balance. But how many of us actually knew that? How many, like, the big toe, you barely see it functioning. You barely feel it functioning. But if we don't have a big toe, if you're the big toe of the church, in a sense, and you're not functioning, you're not there, how is the body going to keep in balance? Every single one of us are needed. Every single one of us is needed. So in Romans 12, it speaks about that. It says this. For the grace is poured out into the church in Rome. For by the grace given to me, I say that everyone among you is not to think of himself more highly than he ought to, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. It's almost like I'm reading Corinthians again, it feels like. I'm like, So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them, if prophecy, in proportion to our faith, if service, in serving, the one who teaches, in his teaching, and the one who exhorts, in his exhortation, and the one who contributes, in generosity, and the one who leads, with zeal, and the one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. So what has God called you to do? I'm not talking, I think a lot of people think, okay, what are the gifts I have? What gifts do I have? I have a gift of healing, teaching. What are the gifts? I don't want to only talk about gifts. I want to talk about, and in a sense, those gifts function through the offices. Those gifts do function. Obviously, if you're doing kids ministry, you might have a gift of serving. But I think so many guys are chasing gifts, and we're just chasing after the gifts. We want to see the big things. We want to see healing. We want to see thousands come to the Lord. Slay those down. Let's go to the elders. How can I serve you? Anton, how can I serve you? What can I do on Sunday? What can I do? Can I make tea? Can I help set up with sound? What can I do? How can I serve you guys? How can I serve your vision? Is it kids ministry? What is it? And I'm not only talking about, I think for myself, I, for a long time, desired things that were not my task because I didn't want to step into the task that God had for me. So this, teaching, I've never desired. Maybe a bit, but it's not something I ever desired. So what would I do? I'd push other guys to the front and allow him to do it. And how does it look? It looks beautiful. Humility. Wow, God. Look at Tom. He's humble. He wants to push other ones to the other guys to the front. But God had called me to do it. And I was pushing away. False humility. What did Moses do? When God went with a burning bush, when God says to him, I've called you, he says, no, but I don't want to. What does it say? Because God's anger will burn against him. God's anger will burn against you if you don't walk in the task that God has called you. He's a serious God. He's a jealous God. We have to do it his way. We have to walk in the task that he's called us to. So don't just desire the tasks that are easy. Desire the ones that God has given you. For me, it was easy to make tea on a Sunday. We often hear Andrew Selly speak about how he had a lot of ambition in his heart and wanted to come into full time. And so then he had to serve tea, and that was really difficult for him. For 3 years, he had to serve tea in the church. And then he got brought up, and God raised him up. But for me, that's very comfortable. I'd rather be in the background. Don't ask me for anything. Let me just serve tea, no? Milk, sugar? Ah, cool. I can do that. That's easy for me. I love doing that. I love doing it. I believe to a degree God has got has placed something of a serving gift in my life. I love serving. But I would push away leadership. Man. I'm leading this outreach, and 2 years ago when I was in Zambia, God convicted me of this big time. He showed me that I never wanted to be first in command. I always wanted to be second. Because when things went wrong, I just point. Go to Him. I didn't do anything. And God corrected me in love. It was funny. He convicted me on, let's say, Monday or whatever. And Wednesday, the guy that leading the outreach when we were there in Zambia with the GCC. On Wednesday, I think, the guy leading came to me and said, "Hey, Brew, I've got too much to do. Can you please lead?" God. Yep, okay. I didn't expect it to come so quickly. Okay, fine, I'll lead. And I took lead, and God graced me with that. And now 2 years later, I'm leading this outreach. And still, something I have to doubt yourself. God, whatever it takes to make your bride beautiful, whatever it takes, God, I'll make her beautiful. Whatever it takes. If it means I need to lead, I'll lead. Whatever it takes, God. Obviously, in 1 Timothy 3, it speaks about those who desire to be an overseer, desire noble tasks. And so I say, if you feel like God's got that on your life, desire it. But ask God, "God, what do you have for me? What do you have for me? How can I serve the vision of the elders? How can I serve individually? How can I serve them? How can I lay my living stone? How can I put it? Where do you want to put it, God?" You need to serve others. It's interesting. Something that I see is happening more and more. Guys are building ministries within church. "Oh, this is my ministry. I've got a healing ministry." And I've asked guys, scripture reference. Let me see it. Where do you find ministry in church? Where do you find my ministry or my thing in church? I see mutual submission. I see going to the altar saying, "Hey, how can I serve you?" But I don't see ministries. Don't see it. We need to build exactly the way God has. The way God desires. Not our way. He gives so clearly. He's given us a blueprint, and we have to build it His way. So what are we doing? What gifts are we desiring? What are we trying to bring? The question that I had in my heart while I was prepping this was, what gifts would Jesus desire? What gifts would Jesus desire if He was in this body? I want to read a verse in Philippians. It says, this is speaking about Jesus. Who, being Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used in His own advantage. Rather, He made Himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. He made in human likeness, being found as an appearance of man, He humbled Himself, becoming death, obedient to death, even death on a cross. In the very nature of God, He took the form of a servant. Lo, Warren, Pete, Anton, how can I serve you? What is it? How can I do it? How can I serve your vision? What did Jesus do? Heavenly Father, not my will but yours. How can I serve you, Father? What does the Father say? Death on the cross. What is it? I came obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted Him to the place of the highest place and gave Him the name above every name. That every name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's the glory of the Father. So I mentioned earlier that I want to speak about how do we know what God has for us. I think pray. Go, "Hey God, what do you have in my life?" And once you feel like this is it, go to the elders and go, "Hey, this is what I feel. This is what I feel. What do you guys think? What do you think? Is that for now? Is it for 10 years? What do you guys think?" You know, in the beginning of the year, I felt God really shifting something in my heart. And I really felt like God was shifting something in my work and what I would do. But I couldn't quite put my finger on it. And I was praying. I was in South Africa at the time. I was praying with one of the elders there, a good friend of mine. Just praying and trying to see God. And I thought I had it. I thought I felt this is what it is. And so I went to Peter, our lead elder, because I'm under his authority. And I went to him and said, "Hey, this is what I'm sensing. I really feel like this is what God wants for me. What do you think?"
So I pray about it.
Prayed about it. It doesn't resonate. It just doesn't resonate. This is what it is. I really had faith in this. I really had faith. I was like, God had told me he wanted me to move me to another nation. I had even contacted guys in the nation going, hey, I'm submitting this to the elders. Is there a chance I could crash at your place for a couple of weeks, like when I arrive, just to like start it all up? I submitted to them saying, like, I'm just doing this in preparation for what I have faith for, but I want to chat. I've chatted with elders and they're praying about it. Elders came back, we don't have faith for it. They had it done. So then I asked myself, I'm faithful. I said, like, I feel like this is God's will. But the elders have been put over me. They put over me as shepherds. They're going to be held. They're going to be held account for what I do one day. And God loves speaking through leaders. So I laid it down. And I think it was a week later, I felt God started laying things on my heart, laying things on my heart for our creatures. And I was like, wow, okay, cool. This is cool. So I started writing things down. And I started processing it again, going, I feel like God, this is what God was talking about when the ship came with work. This is what God is talking about. Outreaches, to go lead outreaches, to go make the bride beautiful. Within Living Waters, but then to other churches across the nations. I went to Peter. Peter, what do you think?
Yeah. What is it? What do you think?
Peter said, yeah, that resonates. That's it. That's exactly what it is. Here I am, 6 months later, leading an outreach here. Not because I want to, because God has asked me to do it. Not because I want the line, not because I want to say I'm Tom and I'm leading outreaches. No, I want his bride to be beautiful. I don't want to bring glory to myself. I just want the bride to be beautiful. Jesus, taking the very nature of a servant, doing all things that have been given to him. He says, all things that have been given to me, now I give it unto you guys. All things have been given to you. Everything, all authority. So, mate, go low. How can I serve you guys? How can I make this bride beautiful? What can I do? Desire the gifts that don't get the light out. Go to your life group leaders. Go to your elders. What do they see in your life? Hey guys, this is what I'm sensing. What do you see? What do you seek? And there's many reasons why we need to do this. But I just want to talk about two. There's many reasons why we should go low and we should ask the elders and we should submit and we should walk in the task God has called us. There's many reasons. And I just want to touch two. For the sake of his church, we have to stay in our lane. We have to do the things God has called us to do. For the sake of his church. The sign of an unhealthy church is when one person is doing everything. It's very unhealthy. I think a lot of you guys have heard us chat to the elders and heard what happened here. I think a lot of you guys have tasted that. It's very unhealthy when one person does everything. God is coming back for a spotless bride. If we're all trying to do what Anton's doing, not going to help. We all have a different task. We all have to do it. If we all bring our portion, if we all play our role, then we become beautiful. So don't compare. Don't compare. Don't go like, look, this guy. You know, I remember being in Auction Life, and I remember hearing of a guy being released into eldership in Auction Life, and his process very well, went very well, and he's still on eldership, an amazing guy. And He came to faith, and 5 years later, he was an elder, born into eldership. And I remember thinking, wow, that'd be cool. At that stage, I'd been a born again believer for 3 years. I'm thinking, wow, that'd be cool to be able to tell everyone that after 5 years. No, that's his portion. That's what God has called him to. We can't compare. Don't compare to other people. Because God has got, if the hand had to compare to the eye, it'd be a big problem. The eye, we can't function without the eye, but imagine trying to function without your hands. Every member has to bring their thing. Every member has to do what God has called them to do. If you look back at that verse in Ephesians 4:12, it says there to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Not the lead elders and the deacons and the life group leaders, or common leaders. The saints for the work of the ministry. We're all to minister. The saints, that's you, that's me, it's everyone. You know what, I heard a story, there was a guy that joined our church recently. And he was in Dutch Reformed Church, and kind of a large part of what he experienced in church was in a sense a one-man show. And he came there, and what struck him most about our church, oh, that was beautiful. The thing that struck him the most, he said, the saints were praying for one another. That's what was the biggest, because everyone expects Anton to pray for us. Everyone expects Warren to come pray. Everyone expects them to lead. That's just what they, that's just normal. When someone walks into the church and he feels loved by the saints, and the saints are there for him, hey, how can I help you? What can I do for you? How can I love on you? Connect with them as they walk through the door. Everyone expects the lead elder to make a chat and, hey, how are you? What, tell me about your life, where are you from, who are you? Kind of thing. When the saints start doing it, that's so much more powerful. So much more powerful. Because everyone expects the pastor to do it. You know? Everyone. So the testimony of this guy was that, wow, I just see that it's functioning. Everyone's doing everything. I think our lead elder preaches, I think, probably once a month. The rest of the time, other guys. And it's not about preaching. It's what is their portion? Everyone is functioning together. Everyone is functioning together. It's not about preaching. It's not about the lama. I don't want to say that. But I think that it's beautiful when everyone does their thing. We'll not reach the nations with one man. It's exactly why Jesus left. Ever thought about that? Jesus was on earth. And he said, I've got to leave so the Holy Spirit can come. So there can be thousands of Jesuses. Jesus could have done it himself. He's God. And obviously he works through us. God works through us. Don't get me wrong. But he said, I have to go. I want to say, he says in, I think, John 16. He says, I have to go. Like, I have to. I can't stay. I have to go so the Holy Spirit can come. And when the Holy Spirit came, the saints were empowered and then the gospel spread. 5,000 saved in one day. Jesus, knowing, being God, being the creator of the heaven and the earth, Jesus, disciple 12. And he said, I've got to go. Sent the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit comes 5,000 in one day. Or 3,000 one day, the next time 5,000. But one man couldn't do it. Jesus himself said, I've got to go to send the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit can create 1,000 Jesuses so we can reach the nations. Matthew 28, go make disciples of all nations. Jesus sends us in. He sends us. He sends you like lambs, like sheep among wolves. He sends us. He sends us. All of us. Every single one of us. If one of us are falling short of it, we've got a problem. We'll never reach the nations. He didn't say a few of you. It's for all of us. God's all... Timothy speaks about God, all scripture being God breathed. Jesus' words to all of us, his words to us. Go and make disciples, all of us, not a few. He didn't only say it to the 12, it's not relevant to the 12, it's all of us. In John 16, yeah. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Jesus had to go. The Helper could come. That's the first reason why I believe that we should be running and operating our own lane for the sake of the church, for the sake of the lost. We will not become healthy if we all try and do what Anton's doing, or what Warren's doing, or what Mark's doing. And the second reason, for the sake of yourself. If you're operating in a place that you're not supposed to operate, if you're operating in an area where there's no grace for you to operate in, it's going to be heavy. You're going to carry burdens that you're not supposed to carry. Remember chatting to Sean Bryerset, one of the guys who teaches. There's a lot of teaching within 412. And he's leading a church in South Africa. And he's dealing with a very, very tough situation. And he's just kind of talking to me about it. And I said to him, like, bro, man, this is heavy. Like, wow. And he said to me, but there's grace for me to carry this now. There's grace for me to do it. And I knew at that moment, I thought, I step into that role, let's say I switch with Sean, and I was trying to carry the weight that he's trying to carry, I would crumble. I would crumble. God has got a specific task for each of us. God called Anton to take over the church here, a specific task for him. For yourself, for the sake of yourself, operate where God has given you grace. Others are going to crumble, others are going to hurt. You're going to be put under weight that you can't bear. You're going to be put under a deadlift of 300 kilograms and you can't pick that up. But another guy can. God has got grace for each of us. For the sake of yourself, don't walk outside of your, don't step outside of your lane. Operate in what you have. You'll be burnt out. We have to function as a body. It's not helpful if we have 4 feet and no hands. What are you going to do with that? What about four hands and trying to walk in your hands? It'd be really uncomfortable. We all have to function in our gift. That's the bride that Jesus is coming back for. That's the bride that Jesus is coming back for. So I really, in closing, I want us to check our hearts. Check what we're doing now in this church. Are we doing much? Are we doing little? Are we doing exactly what God has called us to do? I want us to pray. I want us to search our own hearts. To look, go, okay, God, how can I serve you? How can I build? What can I do? Where can I serve? Because in a sense, the church should be our highest priority. If Jesus is the lover of our lives, the body of Christ, we are the body of Christ, and then this is Jesus. This is Jesus here in front of me. If Jesus is the lover of our lives, the church should be our first priority. So everything, that should be first. Well, I suppose Jesus should be first, but then serving him. So what can we do to make his bride beautiful? What can we bring? We all need to function. If one of you sitting here doesn't function, the bride, the body doesn't function. One of you. And if one of you steps out of sight of your lane, the bride doesn't function. One of you. Be perfect, all of us. That's what God is breaking my heart for. Every single one of us. Every single one of us. And there is grace. If we miss it, that's fine. It's fine. But if we miss it and we know we miss it, it's a serious problem. God has got a task for each and every one of us here. Every single one of us. What can we do? So I want us to pray. I want us to search our hearts. I want us to pray. I want us to think, hey, God, what task do you have for me? What do you have on my life? Is it coming on Sunday and sitting in the pew? Or is it coming and leading worship? What is it? Holy Spirit, I pray now. Would you come and reveal, God? Holy Spirit, come reveal what task you have for each and every one of us. Come reveal what you want to do in this church. Which task can we do, God? Which lane can we run in? We're going to run a race with endurance, God. Which task do you have for us, God? Show Holy Spirit. Show us. And I pray, God, pray that everyone here would come with submission, would come with submitted hearts. To the elders that submit to you. And in a sense, as a submitted elders that submit to you, Jesus, that come with submitted hearts. Saying, this is what I think. How can I serve? How can I serve the vision? Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Reveal to us. Reveal to us. Wherever we missed it, show us, God. Show us. I'm really just sensing, Warren, can I just go with this? Cool. I'm really just sensing that there needs to be repentance. I feel like maybe some guys here have been running with gifts that are not theirs or not been taking up their tasks. So I want to ask, if it's you, if you realize, man, I've been running under a weight that I cannot carry. I've been running in the lane that's not mine. I've been operating the gifts that God hasn't asked me to operate in. Would you come to the front? Would you just come to the front and just repent? Just pray. Oh God, I'm sorry. God, I want to pick up the weight that you have for me. So if that's you, I want to ask you to be bold. I know it's scary. But I really feel like that's what God wants to do. If that's you, would you mind standing, coming to the front? Come, Holy Spirit. Show us where we haven't operated. We've run in the wrong lane. Thank you for the guys already come up. I want to still give one more chance. Ask if that's you. Don't let this moment slide away. Quick repentance. It's the repentance of the Bible. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Come, Holy Spirit. Show us, God. Show us, God. Maybe we can just have some of the elders and life leaders just come pray with the guys here that are up front.
Just going to pray with these guys right now. If there's anyone who wants any other prayer for anything else, we're here for you. Please feel free to come up. Otherwise, we're going to end the service. For those who don't need prayer, free to go enjoy some coffee and fellowship in the coffee lounge. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm just telling you, God's got something special for you. My friend, I'm telling you right now. This is a special anointing. You realize it's going to be like that. It was awesome. It's just saying, precious. It's going to be. You do. It's infectious. It really is. I promise you.
got a special special place.
We can pray now and ask us to
I'm objective at the moment. Don't try and run. There's a lot of ground that the Lord's left. Yeah, a lot of ground. Lay the foundation nicely. Don't go too far.
Thank you.